Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Ben Cubitt, who is Senior Vice President, Consulting and Engineering at Transplace. And today we're going to talk about electronic logging devices, separating hype from reality. Now, ELDs has been a hot topic of conversation for over a year now. A lot of questions both from the carrier community as well as the shipper community in terms of, you know, what ELDs are going to do to the market. In terms of capacity, in terms of utilization, and obviously from a shipper standpoint, you know, ultimately, is that going to have an impact on rates or not? And, Ben's been on the program before, so it's always great to have him back. And, you know, he's always in the front lines with both shippers and carriers with what's happening there at Transplace. And they just did a completed survey not too long ago with over 2,000 carriers where they got some, insights and in terms of what's happening with ELDs in the marketplace. And that's really what we're going to talk about today to kind of, you know, really see what's happening out there and, understand, what the impact has been to date and maybe project forward in terms of what might happen, moving forward. So with that, Ben, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Adrian. Great to be back with you.
Ben, I think a lot of folks in the industry are aware about, electronic logging devices, ELDs, but just in case, anyone listening in today may not be as familiar with ELDs, but why don't we start there? Why don't you provide just a brief synopsis of what, ELDs are and, why have they received so much attention over the past year?
Great. So electronic logging devices basically are a mandate by the federal government to replace paper logs. And so any driver who's required to report hours of service has to begin using an ELD. Goes into effect for those on paper logs December of this year. For those that already have the automated onboard equipment, it gets phased in over the next couple of years. But everybody who's on paper logs has to go in December 17th. Electronic logs, there's a number of different ways to deploy the technology. The critical component has to be synchronized with the engine. So it records when the engine's on, when it's moving, a lot of other things also. But that's basically what electronic logging device is. Synchronizes with the engine, required for all drivers who have to report hours of service, and the mandate goes into effect December of this year.
So it goes in effect December of this year or December of 2017?
December of 2017. Sorry about that, Adrian. Yes, December of 2017. December of 2016 would really be quick.
Right. I just wanted to clarify that. So we're about a year away, from it coming into play. And I guess that's why it's getting a lot of attention, right? Because, the clock is basically ticking and winding down because in the general scheme of things, a year is not that long.
Yeah, it really is not. And I think shippers are starting to pay more attention to it. As we do truckload bids for shippers, we're including that as an RFI, a series of questions. Shippers really want to know, have you implemented ELDs? If not, what are your plans to implement? I think as we'll get closer, March, June of this year, shippers will really want to know that all their carriers are compliant or will be compliant by the time it kicks in December of 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've certainly, over the past year, all the conferences that I've been to, ELDs was, a topic of conversation. It's something that on Talking Logistics, I've written about a lot as well. And, I think it's something that continues to be on the radar for both shippers and carriers. So let's talk a little bit about the survey that you did. I mean, you surveyed, I think it was over 2,000, carriers of various sizes, both large carriers and small carriers. To kind of learn, get some insight in terms of the adoption rate and what the impact that has been to date. So let's start with adoption. Are carriers well on their way to kind of meeting the mandate, which is, about a year away, or are they, procrastinating? And did you see any differences between large and small carriers?
Yeah, and that's why we wanted to do this survey too, Adrian. There's a lot, as you said, there's been a lot written about ELDs, a lot of talk about ELDs. There's a lot of kind of myths about ELDs, both what the impact is going to be and what it takes to implement them. So at Transplace, we really like to be data-driven. You know, if we're going to tell our shippers, our customers, people in the industry something, you know, ideally we want to offer not just our opinion, but we want it to be a fact-based opinion as much as we can. So that's why we designed the survey. We wanted to understand what was the adoption rate, because there's a lot of anecdotal information out there. So we sent the survey, we designed the survey, we worked with carriers, worked with some of our shippers to, you know, decide what questions we should ask. And then we sent it out to 2,000 carriers, big, medium, and small. And we got back a good percentage, a very valid response. And it was also spread. We got responses from carriers with less than 25 trucks, 25 to 50, 50 to 200, 200 to 500, and greater than 1,000. So we had a large number of carriers respond, and we got the responses back across the board. It wasn't just all small carriers or all large carriers, which was important to us. We really wanted to understand, and as we got the survey results, it was even more important, because we saw a real disparity between adoption rates in larger carriers, greater than 200 trucks, 250 trucks, and smaller carriers. And we can talk a little bit more about that.
So I think most people who, if I were to do such a survey, I would probably assume that the larger carriers were probably, you know, those that, you know, the name brand carriers that have a lot of trucks, you know, that tend to be perhaps a little bit further ahead of the curve when it comes to technology and things like that, that they would probably be ahead of the curve in terms of implementing, you know, ELDs, and perhaps owner operators, you know, person, you know, driver in his truck, or, you know, smaller firms would probably be further back, you know, in terms of implementation. Is that the way it kind of split out in terms of the results?
Yeah, absolutely. That, and we've seen that consistently. We saw it with our initial survey. We followed up and ask additional carriers, we saw exactly the same trends. And then as we've recently been doing these shipper-specific bid RFIs, we've seen the same results. And so what we've seen in the survey is that large carriers, greater than 250 trucks, are virtually fully implemented or well along the way. 81% of the large carriers that we surveyed are fully implemented today. They've got ELDs, a lot of them have been running them for multiple years. They've worked out the kinks. They've learned how to plan better. We can talk about that, the impacts on productivity. And the other 19% are in various stages of implementing. So the larger carriers, it's just a non-issue. The smaller carriers, we saw kind of exactly the opposite. About 33% said they were fully implemented, and 63% were planning on implementing, but it kind of went into those kind of thirds. So 33% are fully implemented, additional 33% are planning, and there's 25 or 30% out there who were kind of, especially at the time of the original survey, taking a wait and see attitude. Because when we originally did the survey in May, there were a number of lawsuits challenging the ELD mandate. And on October 31st, kind of Halloween, one of those was decided by a federal court and was denied and said, no, ELDs can go forward and be fully implemented. So there's a little bit less of ambiguity about whether the next thing that the people who brought the lawsuits would do is have to appeal it to the Supreme Court, and they've, you know, that's a high hurdle, and they haven't announced their strategy yet. But really the denial at the lower court level, I think really was definitive for a lot of folks and said, hey, we need to go do this now.
Yeah, so you just, you know, I was going to ask, and I think you kind of perhaps partially answered it, you know, already. I was going to ask if there was any insights as to why, you know, some of the smaller carriers, you know, have been procrastinating or haven't been as further along the implementation path as some of the larger ones. So it sounds like, obviously, with some of the litigation that you talked about, you know, that created some wait and see type of feeling out in the carrier market. Any other insights as to why, you know, they're behind the curve? I mean, has cost been an issue? Has that been something that carriers have also expressed, or is cost not really an issue?
You know, I think you can break it into a couple of factors. Cost is a little bit of an issue. I don't want to minimize the cost, but we're talking hundreds of dollars, not thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. So to implement ELDs, there's a lot of options. There's very inexpensive, moderately expensive, and expensive. But even on the expensive end, you're talking about approaching $1,000 a truck. And the time to train a driver on ELDs is not significant. So it's not like a driver has to go away for a week's training or anything like that. So cost is a component. But when you look at the overall cost of operating a fleet or operating a truck, it's not going to be a major line item. So while cost was a factor, I think a bigger factor was, I think part of it's emotional. Independent owner operators is exactly what it says. Some of the people who drive trucks are entrepreneurs, they're independent, and there's a feeling of, I'm going to be controlled. You know, someone's watching me. They'll know where I am. Some of the things that you hear talked about in the industry. And so there was just general resistance. And again, some people didn't want to do it because, you know, maybe they've got five trucks. They may have some other reasons to think about, you know, do I want to keep doing this? Do I not want to do it? And that's another hurdle. And we can talk more later because I think those are some of the big questions. As shippers looked, and it's, you know, all this anecdotal, oh, ELDs are going to be the end of the world, and they're going to be this major constraint on capacity, which we don't believe is the case, and we can talk about why. But I think, you know, the big questions were, you know, who's implemented? Will there be time to implement? How big's the hurdle to implement? What's the status of these court cases? And one after the other, and I think the survey really documented that it's, you know, A, the big guys are already, the big fleets are implemented or shortly will be. A lot of the small to mediums are, and there's really not a significant hurdle from a cost or time. You know, people have plenty of time and the cost is not prohibitive to implement. So I think the third question, which we can talk about from the survey results, is will drivers leave the industry? Will carriers leave the industry?
Right. I want to get to that question for sure. So it sounds like, you know, we've got, you know, over a year, you know, to go here. It sounds that, you know, from what you just said, that really is plenty of time for some of these carriers that, particularly smaller ones that, you know, haven't implemented yet to, you know, put it in place, you know, do the training with their drivers and everything else. Because it sounds like, you know, both the cost hurdle and the implementation hurdle is not that big.
Yeah, and we talked to fleets, you know, medium to large fleets. I talked to some fleets who have a significant amount of trucks, let's say in the hundreds, who have the ELDs ready to go. They bought the technology. They got it on part of their trucks, and they're just waiting to turn it on. You know, and they're going to do a phased implementation, and they really don't want to turn it on until they have to. So you may see some of these folks have the technology, know how to do it, and do a slow roll. And then in the last 90 days, 180 days, they can bring the final drivers on. I think there's some fear among them they may lose drivers or, you know, they just don't want to irritate the driver base till they have to, if you will. You know, could there be a you know, if you're waiting to the last 60 days, you know, could there be challenges? I think there could be, you know, access to technology, implementation. I mean, you know, we've all done system implementations, even though this is not anything like an ERP or other systems like that, it's still an implementation. So, you know, I think folks that wait to the last 60, 90 days, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. But again, you know, you could even be onboarding drivers that quickly.
Yeah, no, I think I absolutely. I mean, I think the last thing you want to do is kind of do this big bang, rushed, you know, rollout, you know, with, you know, just a few weeks to go. Because it is, you know, it goes beyond the technology, you know, and the training of the drivers. There's a lot of, you know, process issues. And, you know, as we all know, with any kind of implementation, not everything runs smoothly on day one. So there's unexpected kinks that come up, and you want to give yourself time to, you know, address those. So let's talk now about, you know, kind of the other question I think, you know, folks have is, you know, based on the survey, I mean, have carriers experienced, those that have implemented already, or those that plan to, you know, do they expect to experience any impact to capacity or utilization? You know, did they report any link between using ELDs and, you know, hours of service and logging violations, you know, anything around those, you know, those topics?
Yeah, I think there's three or four areas to talk about there. So let's take the potential negatives first. Because there's been a lot of concern about those. You know, that's when people think of ELDs, that's kind of top of mind. Is it going to impact capacity? So I think it could impact capacity in two ways. One is availability of drivers, you know, the question of will drivers leave the industry? And then the second question is, you know, now that I've gone from a paper log to an electronic log, and we've certainly seen this as we schedule trucks, as we monitor and look at truck pickups and deliveries, different than paper logs. If a carrier's 10 miles from the final delivery and that driver runs out of hours, they will park the truck, you know. And so, but with planning, you overcome that. So let's take the first question, the big question. Will drivers leave the industry? So if you look at the survey and we ask carriers, did you lose any drivers? 51% said yes, you know, 48, 49% said no. And so that's concerning. So when you just see that number, you think, okay, that's concerning. But we allowed free-form text in the survey, and we got lots of great comments, you know, some really insightful, some amusing, some interesting. But when you really looked at the data points, overwhelmingly we saw people say, hey, I have 350 trucks, I lost two drivers. You know, someone else said, I lost, you know, five drivers out of 120. We only had one data point that said, hey, I've got, you know, 110 trucks, I lost 29 drivers. Now, as we all know, there's significant driver turnover all of the time. So how much of that was regular turnover that was attributed to ELDs? We don't know, right? It's not an audited result. But again, multiple data points that say, you know, hey, we had no trouble implementing this, some driver resistance. Now the drivers would fight you if you wanted to go back to paper logs. So I look at the survey results as one data point, but then the second data point that says, you know, will you lose drivers? Again, 81% of the large fleets are fully implemented and the rest are implementing. And ELDs has not been identified by anyone as a significant hindrance to keeping drivers. You know, there's all the challenges of finding, recruiting, and keeping drivers, but ELDs, all those big fleets are, you know, right in line with everyone else as far as driver turnover. You know, they're where they were historically. You know, if driver turnover has been getting a little bit worse, then they're tracking that. But all those large carriers that have implemented ELDs, medium carriers, they have drivers in the trucks, and they, no one's reported, hey, I can't put drivers in 40% of the trucks in my fleet, you know, because of ELDs. So, you know, the survey results plus what we see with the experience of large carriers says that, you know, that there hasn't been this mass exodus and that drivers in large percentages are leaving because of ELDs. Now, we're not fully implemented. They have other options. But I look at that same thing. If a lot of drivers really were not going to do ELDs, then you would expect more transition from the fleets implementing them to the carriers that don't have ELDs. Because right now you have options. By December of 2017, you won't have options. So we think the data from the survey, what we see in the field, what we hear from our carrier partners says that, you know, the data says that large numbers of drivers are not leaving the industry because of ELDs or even leaving carriers that have implemented ELDs.
Yeah, that's a great point, I think your survey kind of shows how you really have to dig beneath the numbers sometimes, because like you said, you know, if you just asked that question, you saw 50, you know, more than 50% said yes. Right, you would say, oh my gosh, you know, the world is ending. But you know, when you look at it from a percentage basis, you know, if they're losing, you know, one or two drivers out of 100, you know, you're talking about 1%, 2%, you know, and then, like you said, you know, is that just normal turnover, because there is a lot of turnover in trucking to begin with, or is ELD a contributing factor there? So it seems like, you know, based on the fact that many of the large carriers have already been using ELDs for quite some time, so it's kind of like baked into their results already over the past, you know, a year or plus. And based on the fact that, you know, with the additional kind of data that you got and comments, that it doesn't seem that's going to be that big of an issue.
The second part to address is, you know, what happens to driver efficiency, fleet utilization, average miles, and we asked that also, and the majority of carriers said, hey, we expect a negative impact from ELDs. And you know, it varied from, you know, at the high end, some carriers saying, hey, we expect, you know, 20-30% impact on productivity. Most were in the 10-12, you know, 5-10%. And what we've kind of consistently heard from carriers who have implemented ELDs is that initially you see a significant hit to productivity, 6-8%. But with better planning, you can improve that. You know, fleets that start running ELD start learning, you know, I don't want to dispatch this driver to this type of load if they only have this many hours left. You know, so you really start matching, you know, you got all this ELD data tells you how many hours driver has, the driver has that, the driver manager has that, you know what load you're going to accept. And so what we've seen and heard from carriers is that once you implement with better planning, you can really reduce that impact. I think that there is an impact there. You know, we've heard enough. We've seen it. We've seen real world, you know, but I don't think it's cataclysmic. You know, it is an impact. If I were operating I don't want to minimize it. If I were operating a business, and I took a 4-6 or 3-8%, somewhere in that range impact on productivity, I'd be concerned, right? But it's not 50%, 80%, it's not 20%. And so that's what we've consistently heard. On the positive side, what the survey talked about is, A, you know, it's what you hear in the press as people talk about ELDs. One is that you know, it does relieve the driver of the admin burden of manually keeping up with hours of service. You know, now it's automated, so that frees up some driver time. Second thing we heard was that you see a real reduction in hours of service violations. And so, you know, in a way, that's a productivity hit or improvement. So there's some offsets, and there are some benefits. The other things, most ELDs are part of a larger kind of fleet management system. So you get all sorts of important information, hard braking, you know, fuel efficiency. So as ELDs and these larger systems that ELDs are often a component of, carriers get a lot of information that drives efficiency. So this is overall a net, you know, it's part, the ELD doesn't, ELD contributes some productivity because of the paperwork and some other areas, but the fleet management system that ELDs are often a part of provides a lot of information back to the carrier that can increase. There's a lot of, you know, analysis that says it increases safety. Carriers and drivers that are on ELDs report fewer accidents than those on paper logs. It helps with more efficient driving, better fuel mileage, et cetera. So there's a lot of side benefits, not just of ELDs, but of the systems that ELDs are often a part of.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you were talking about, you know, in terms of minimizing the impact to productivity, you know, you basically need through better planning, right? And I think that suggests to me that, you know, we always talk about shippers, you know, when you talk about shippers and using spreadsheets and fax machines instead of a TMS to manage your operations, you know, they're basically leaving money on the table, not being as efficient as they can be. I would imagine that for carriers, particularly those that might be more on the midsize, you know, if they're not using, you know, the equivalent of a TMS for their operation, you know, carrier-based system that helps with that kind of planning, you know, that they might be more challenged than those that already have some technology in place that will help them with more, you know, effective planning. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. I do believe it becomes much more of an optimization exercise, you know, and so the more you can look at a bunch of data and with technology or without technology do a better job planning, you really can. And I think shippers are going to have to do a better job. And we've done in a parallel effort because of ELDs and just because of carrier efficiency, we have customers and we have carriers, and we think both of those are equally important to Transplace and to our shipper customers. And so we've done some additional surveys about what it means to be a preferred shipper. And so as you look at these ELDs, we were talking to some carriers last week and some shippers at a meeting, and we talked about tweener routes. So now you have these 600 to 800 mile routes that really can be difficult depending on the time of day that you tender the load and when you want it delivered. In an ELD world, those could be difficult to deliver under the way they used to kind of get delivered in a paper log. And so, you know, and there's some other things you look at. 24/7 becomes much more important. So if I'm a carrier, I've got these ELDs, I'm really going to be controlled in the hours of service, I need to maximize the efficiency of my driver. And so if you're a shipper that only allows pickups or deliveries between a tight window, that becomes a challenge. You know, so shippers that are 24/7, if you give a carrier a longer haul load on Thursday or Friday that'll keep them driving all the way to next Monday when they can pick up a load, give them a very long haul load, that becomes a lot more advantageous. So I think as shippers deal with these productivity hits and the challenges of ELDs, I think there's going to be a lot more discussions between shippers and carriers and 3PLs about how do we bring more efficiency to the network, because nobody wants that hit. And, you know, shippers don't want their carrier partners to take that hit. And if we are in a driver shortage overall, and if that is the scarce resource we all believe it is, we want to keep those folks in the industry. We want to keep them moving. That's how they get paid. And I think as we come into this ELD world, I think that's going to put even more impetus and push behind shippers and carriers kind of collaboratively doing a better job of planning and leveraging those resources.
Yeah, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that, but absolutely. I think, the way I see it, this, you know, same as you, I think this could be a catalyst for better, collaboration between shippers and carriers to really look at the end-to-end process in terms of everything from when do we tender to delivery windows, lead times, so on and so forth. And I think really looking for the, best possible, scenario that's a win-win, for both parties to, maximize the, utilization and productivity while still meeting the requirements from, from the shipper end of things.
I think, just to add one more, we think about anything that, keeps that driver from moving or causes kind of unproductive movement for the driver. So things like detention becomes a much bigger deal. Are you unloading me in an hour, 2 hours? Are you holding up the truck for 3 or 4 hours? Are you, what's the impact of stops? And then things like parking. We really have this challenge of parking. So if I come to pick up a load and I'm a little early and you don't have parking on your facility and you tell me to go down to a crowded truck stop and I'm using hours, all those become issues that I think, some of these systems will also give carriers data where they can go into a shipper and talk more. So I think we're going to see more data-driven discussions. Shippers and 3PLs have really existed to kind of do scorecards on the carriers and tell the carriers any inefficiency they're causing them. And I think that's going to be a little bit more of a two-way conversation and it needs to be a data-driven conversation. So maybe this will push some of that along.
Yeah, no, great, great. So you're talking about shippers, and you mentioned this early on, where just kind of curious in terms of, whether ELDs are being incorporated as part of the transportation procurement process. Are shippers and 3PLs asking carriers whether they're ELD compliant as part of that RFP process? And if so, is the data you're getting back out of the procurement engagements, how do they match up with kind of what you're seeing here with the survey, that you did, and how important is ELD compliance becoming for shippers as part of the selection process?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So, TransPlace, our engineering team probably does 100-150 procurement events a year working with shippers, air, ocean, parcel, LTL. But truckload is the predominant, truckload intermodal. And so what we've seen, and we've encouraged, and our shippers have asked us in the most recent bids, we've started including that as part of the RFI. We use SyQuest as our bid technology, and it has a strong RFI capability. So as we've been doing recent bids, we've been asking carriers as part of that, kind of the same RFI, the same ELD questions. Have you implemented ELDs? If not, what's your plan? What percentage are you implemented? Kind of the basic questions. And so in the last 90 days, we've had a couple bids complete, and I can share the data with you. And we did the same thing. We as the RFI, we also asked how many tractors carrier has, et cetera. And so just to give you two examples, just completed bids. The first shipper is a paper and packaging company, and they had 134 carriers in the bid that responded to the survey. Of those, 103 had more than 200 trucks. So the majority of their carriers are larger carriers, and the statistics on that were 93 had already implemented ELDs, 5 were going to implement them within the next 90 days, 2 within the next 180 days, and only three were outside that 180 day period. So again, you know, 95% in this bid for a specific shipper of his of their carriers over 200 trucks have already implemented ELDs. Then when you look at the less than 200 trucks, you kind of see the same split. 10 of those 31 carriers have already implemented, 10 are planning on doing it in the next 180 days, and 10 are greater than 180 days. And so to give you another example, another shipper, a CPG, a large CPG, both of these had you know, freight spends in excess of 100, 150 million a year, so good-sized shippers. The second one, again, similar carrier base, 145 carriers in their bid, 107 greater than 200 trucks in their fleet. Very similar numbers. 96 have already implemented, two within the next 90 days, five within 91 to 180 days. Only four, you know, were greater than 180 days to be implemented. So, you know, 98% are either fully implemented or will be in a very short time zone. But then when you look at the less than 200 trucks, and this was 38 of this shipper's 145 carriers in the bid, 24 were already implemented, six were planning, and eight were still waiting. So very similar results. And again, I think, you know, my favorite email of the last couple of weeks, Adrian, is there was an analyst, it's not an email, and I got it forwarded to me by a number of people, but it said, ELDs are coming, the world's going to end, capacity is going to disappear, rates are going to go up, you know, 25%. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. And so, you know, against that kind of anecdotal ELDs are going to end the world, look at these two shippers, they've got committed carrier bases that are 90% implemented, you know, so they would easily be able to shift their volume. And I think you'll see that, you know, by June. I spent two-thirds of my career on the shipper side, and I would want to be able to go to my boss and say, hey, I know you're hearing a little bit about ELDs, or if you haven't, here's what's going on. Our carriers are fully implemented, or our carriers are, all but two of our carriers are implemented. Those two expect to be fully implemented at least 60 days before the mandate. If they're not, we can move that volume, and we're not concerned about it. We're watching it. So, you know, that's what shippers do. Shippers are data driven. They look at plans. A lot of people managing transportation are engineers, and you know, they're going to look to make sure that their company is protected, and that they're, you know, for their stakeholders and their internal customers, that they have capacity. It's not going to be impacted by ELDs. So, Mike, I don't want to totally minimize this. You know, brokerage. We haven't talked about brokerage yet. Brokerage. When we do the survey with brokers, even large brokers, the response we get back from many of them is, I'm a broker, I don't have drivers, you know, so, you know, it's not a relevant question to me. But we know that brokers are starting to do the same due diligence, you know, making sure that their underlying carriers are covered by ELDs, and they're going to want to be able to tell shippers, certainly Transplace, we want to be able to, you know, communicate to our shippers that we have a solid plan and that we're making sure our underlying carriers are ELD compliant. So, again, I think the bids, two important things about the bids. One, shippers have this data now, so coming out of the bids, and, you know, there's a huge amount of bids going on right now. A lot of shippers are annual bids, but I think you're going to see shippers focus on that and really push their carriers to be compliant. And, you know, if I were a shipper, anything after June of this year would be a red flag to me if I had carriers that weren't fully implemented.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, a lot of shippers, you know, are kind of looking at this, or we'll look at this from a risk management, you know, standpoint, right? So, you know, being able to start capturing that information, that data, and, you know, at the end of the day, they don't want to be in a situation where, you know, a significant percentage of their carriers or, you know, important lanes are impacted by carriers that are not ELD compliant, and, you know, they can run into some issues there. So at a minimum, they're going to be asking the questions more over the next few months than perhaps they have in the past, and you know, get for themselves a pulse on what's happening in the market. You know, Ben, we're running out of time here, so I'm going to go right to my last question here, you know, kind of as a way to, you know, summarize and wrap up. I mean, what does the data, at the end of the day, you know, if you had to sum it all up, I mean, what does the data and the feedback that you've gotten from carriers, you know, tell us today about the adoption and impact of ELDs, and what questions remain unanswered? you know, what are some of the things that we'll you know, you're going to have to wait and see, or have to see what happens in the months ahead?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to frame it. So to the first part of your question, you know, what does the data tell us? I think the data tells us what, you know, and I think it was great to get the data because we anecdotally are, you know, talking to carriers, you had a feeling, but I think what it tells you is one, a much higher percentage than the kind of industry. Some of the feedback would let you believe are already implemented. So that's the first big question. You know, what percentage of carriers have already implemented? And it's a high percentage. What percentage are planning to implement? Again, a very high percentage. You know, will people lose drivers? I think that's the big question. And I would put that as there's no evidence to say that it's going to be a huge impact on the industry. But we'll come back to that second part of your question. And then finally, you know, we wanted to see what the cost and time to implement was. And while I don't want to minimize that, if I were a carrier and I had to spend $500 or $1,000 per truck and I might lose some productivity per driver in what's already a challenged industry with rate depression that's going on and increasing cost of tractors and trailers and all that, I want to minimize it, but it's not tens of thousands of dollars, you know, per truck. It's not going to drive you out of business. And so I think the remaining question is how many drivers will leave? You know, even though the evidence says, you know, if 2% of drivers leave, if 1% of drivers leave, you know, that's significant. So while we don't, I believe truck drivers are drivers for a reason. They like that lifestyle. And the evidence says that even drivers who are resistant, once ELDs came in, they'd fight you to go back to paper logs. So, you know, I believe that, you know, I'm not sure ELDs are going to tip people over. Then the second question you get asked a lot are some of the smaller carriers, marginal carriers going to go out of business. We don't know that again, but again, if, you know, if I was already thinking about leaving the industry, this might be enough to push me over. But on the counter side of that, if I'm operating 10 trucks or 50 trucks and the business makes sense to me and it's a viable business, ELDs are not going to really push me over the edge from a cost or any other. But those are the questions, you know, what, and then I think the last question is what's the impact on brokers? So, you know, if some brokers are really heavily reliant on owner operators, smaller fleets, and some of these drivers or fleets do leave the industry, what's that impact? But again, if you look at the two shippers that we were looking at for their asset-based carriers, you know, they don't have a major concern. They're 90% implemented, 5% will implement in the next very short term, and 5% more, you know, or a little bit longer term. But if I were 95% compliant right now in my carrier base, it doesn't feel like a crisis to me.
Yeah, a great way to summarize, you know, where we are today and what some of the remaining questions are. Well, Ben, you know, like I always say at the end of all our episodes, we always manage to just scratch the surface on this topic, but I think we provided some great insights, you know, thanks to the data you collected in terms of kind of separating the hype from reality, you know, and what's happening with ELDs, and especially as we're kind of heading into, you know, 2017 here, you know, certainly, you know, the one thing that we know for sure with transportation management is that, you know, things are going to look different, you know, tomorrow than they do today, than they did, you know, yesterday. It's an ever-changing market. So thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, Adrian. It is an important topic. I enjoyed discussing it.
Great. I'm sure that you always do a lot of you know, surveys throughout the year. I'm sure this is something with as you continue to do RFIs and things like that, you'll continue to gather some more data and insight into what's happening. So maybe we'll bring you on and get an update, you know, sometime late spring or early summer to see you know, whether those 5% are you know, if there's been a fire lit behind them and they're actually implementing, or if they're still procrastinating. So
thank you.
I want to thank those of you that joined us today. We didn't get any questions, but if you are watching this on demand, either at the Transplace website or the Talking Logistics website, and you've got a question for Ben, you can you know, post a question there. I'm sure that he'll be more than happy to, you know, respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.